out of my comfort zone this evening. I was trying to print my message. We had a power outage. When was that? Last night. And they finally got it fixed and got power back on late this afternoon. And I didn't give a thought to it. And when I went to try to print, I couldn't do it. I tried a different printer. I couldn't do it. So I think it's something with my computer, but I thought, I'm guessing that if I turned it off and restarted it, it would probably work. But at this point, since I know it's not the printer, I was reticent to do that, so I have it here. We'll see if this works. I remember seeing someone once preaching from an iPad, and they said they were doing this for their first time. And at some point, I could see what had happened. You know, a look of terror came across the fellow's eyes, and he's scrolling frantically, and I knew exactly what had happened, right? He had lost his place, you know, because it's different than pages. I always number my pages in case I drop them, whatever, but he was frantic and finally got his way back there, and I have thought just one more reason why I never want to do what I'm going to do right now, okay? Because it's just, I'm much more of a hands-on, touch and feel, you know, print on paper person. But we'll do this for this evening, so you can bear with me. Let me have you turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Thanksgiving, the holiday, is just around the corner. And so let me begin tonight by reading the proclamation that was made by William Bradford, the governor of the Plymouth Colony. This was a proclamation he made in 1623, about 3 years after the pilgrims settled in the New World. And here's the proclamation. He says, "To all ye pilgrims, inasmuch as our great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forecast to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as He has protected us from the raids of the savages and spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims, with your wives and ye little ones, do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November the 29th of the year of our Lord 1623, and the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye Plymouth Rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all His blessings." Now, since that time, there have been many more such proclamations in our country. The Continental Congress issued Thanksgiving proclamations each year from 1777 to 1784. Last week, I read an excerpt from George Washington's first presidential Thanksgiving proclamation made in 1789. And Presidents John Adams and James Madison followed suit. Then there was a long gap where we kind of didn't have much going on in our country with regards to a nationalized and institutionalized observance of Thanksgiving. But then in 1863, during the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed a national day of, quote, "Thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens, to be celebrated on the last Thursday in November." And Americans have observed Thanksgiving as a national holiday, so to speak, every year since. And best I can tell, every year since, the president has issued a Thanksgiving proclamation year by year, though I will suggest that some of those proclamations are a little more sterile and secular than others, okay? But in any event, at least we have that heritage in our nation of an acknowledgement that there is cause to be giving thanks. And so because of that, I just determined this year, not something I've done in the past, but that we just have a short series here around Thanksgiving time that I've entitled A Time for Giving Thanks. And we started this last Wednesday night. We looked at Psalm 100. We'll finish up the Wednesday after Thanksgiving by going back to Psalm 100. Next week we'll have our annual Thanksgiving praise service, and that will be on Tuesday evening. And that'll be an occasion for you to be able to express your thankfulness. But for tonight, so the middle message of three, I want us to reflect on the truth that Thanksgiving ought to be for us a continual daily attitude. And so to do that, I want to draw our attention to two very familiar passages that make this point. And the first is here in Philippians 5, and let me read verses 18 through 20. Here Paul says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled, be controlled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he continues on there, but he says, you know, here are some marks of someone who is filled with the Spirit of God, someone who is controlled by the Spirit of God. One of those things is this attitude of thankfulness, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another passage that we're all very familiar with along these same lines. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where he says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks. And so the title of the message this evening is, are you ready to give thanks for all things and in everything? So let's begin with prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for the rich blessings that we have from you. We're thankful for the salvation we have in Christ. Father, your word teaches us that we're to be thankful even in times of trial and difficulty. Father, I just pray that you would use your word tonight to encourage us to be of a thankful spirit, to be ready to give thanks always, in everything, continually, all the time. Whether those things from our human perspective seem to be good, whether they seem to be not so good, whether they naturally cause us to rejoice, whether rejoicing is a matter of submission to you and allowing your Spirit to work. Father, might we be reminded a truth that I know each person here is well aware of, but one I think that we need to be reminded of again and again, that we are to be a thankful, grateful people, that our heart is to be filled with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, that we sing, that we make melody with a spirit of thanksgiving, being thankful always in all things and for everything. So, Father, I pray that you would use your word to that end in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I was reading a sermon earlier this week, and the guy had these three points, which just kind of caught my attention. Maybe for their cleverness, I don't know. I tend to shy away from clever. But he said, we have it so good, we enjoy it so much, and we express it so little. You know, and I thought that's true. I mean, we do have it so. Now, he went down the line of, you know, you look at Americanism and the blessings we have in comparison to the rest of the world. But the fact is, even in the midst of deep trials, even if we were residing in a third world country, you know what? If you know Christ as your Savior, we have it so good. We do enjoy it so much. You know, the reality of God in our lives makes such a difference. We take it for granted. But we do enjoy it so much. And we express it so little. So I thought it was kind of thought-provoking. And yet when you think about it, okay, if you take out the richness that we have materially and the comforts and the freedoms and the conveniences that we have here in 21st century America, even without those, you know, we ought to be thankful. You know, we ought to be much more, you know, aggressive about expressing our thankfulness to God, even in times of trial, even in times of hardship, even when we are confronted with difficulties. And you say, how do we do that? Why? What, you know, I mean, we struggle with that. You know, and our problem, I think, folks, has to do with our perspective. And really, I just have two observations tonight. The first one is this: thankfulness is a matter of perspective. So look again here at Ephesians 5. Verse 18 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the first time, you know, most of us have read that verse hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. You know, most of you here probably have memorized, or at least almost memorized, those very, very familiar words to us. You know, maybe the first time that you read that, it sounded like maybe Paul was talking about, you know, a gathering of believers for a singspiration, right? Or for a worship service, because it kind of sounds like it's talking about people gathered together and they're singing to one another and with one another, and it's kind of a praise service. And certainly we ought to be engaged in those kinds of things. But Paul here is really talking about an underlying spirit that is there all of the time. And those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, I mean, you could interpret it either way. You can't be dogmatic, but, you know, it might have to do with speaking to yourselves as in, you know, it's in my own mind, right? I'm telling myself this. I'm rejoicing within. It might also mean as for the encouragement of other believers. I'm singing and I'm expressing the joy and thankfulness I have. But no matter how you look at it, underlying it is a spirit of thankfulness always and for all things, right? That's what he says, giving thanks always for all things. There's the underlying spirit. You know, that's what this passage is about. One of these manifestations of the working of the Spirit of God in our souls is that thankful spirit that comes across joyfully, that comes across reflectively, that comes across in a way that others can tell. There's just that underlying joy, that singing and praising and having that spirit of thankfulness. It's a heart attitude that comes when we are controlled by the Spirit. We speak to ourselves. We speak among ourselves with a joyful attitude of thankfulness, you know, and again, it's always and for all things. You say, well, how can we have that kind of an attitude? I mean, how do you deal with that when life is difficult? How do you deal with that when you're going through severe trials? How do you deal with that when just the relentless pressures of life seem to be dragging you down? Well, one, obviously, it's the work of the Spirit of God. I mean, this is what it says. Someone who's filled by the Spirit, or someone who is controlled by the Spirit of God, it is God's work within our souls. Over the period of our life, you know, where we're constantly learning and growing, God does that work. But there's a human side that has to do with our perspective on life. You know, our perspective on who we are, right? We're sinners. You know, our perspective on how undeserving we are, our perspective on how gracious God has been to us, and our perspective on what's really important. And those really were many of the things we talked about and alluded to Sunday morning in the message from James about the poor being thankful for their riches in Christ and the rich materially being thankful that they've been made low, that they're the humble recipients of the grace of God. And really, a thankful spirit is a matter of having a biblically informed perspective and not letting our fleshly thinking rob us of that perspective. And I want to just suggest three fleshly attitudes that rob us of a thankful perspective, three mindsets that keep us from being thankful. And one, you know, one, and this is the root of many things, is just a matter of pride. You know, it is easy for us, even as believers, to kind of adopt a spirit that, you know, I work hard for everything and I have what I deserve. And you know, I even deserve better. And maybe you've sometimes had a mindset, a thought that just kind of shoves itself into your thinking when you're going through a hard time. Why is God doing this to me? I mean, I've worked hard. I've tried hard. I've tried to live for God. I deserve better. And that mindset of pride, and I deserve, you know, just makes us want to be thankful to nobody but ourselves. Look what I've done. Look how hard I've worked. Look what I've given up. Look what I've sacrificed. Look at all this. I deserve better. And we have that prideful spirit. You know, it just robs us of thankfulness. Then there's the chronic complaining, the critical spirit, grumbling, murmuring, whatever you want to call it. Instead of being grateful, you know, sometimes there are some people whose lives maybe are almost characterized this way, but all of us understand that there are times when even in the face of great blessing, you know, we continue to find something in it to be unhappy about. You know, I often use the expression, you know, we're tempted to find a black cloud to surround every silver lining, right? I mean, even when the goodness is there, we want to see the hardness. There's a story of a lady who was known as an incurable grumbler who constantly complained about everything. And at last, her preacher thought he had found something which she would have to be happy about. For her farm crop, her potato crop, was the finest for miles around. And so when he saw her, he said with a beaming smile, "You must be very happy, Mary. Everyone is saying how healthy your potatoes look this year." Her response, "Well, true, they're pretty good. But what am I going to do when I need bad potatoes to feed the pigs?" You know, I mean, it's a ridiculous example, but the fact is we're like that. You know, if you let your flesh go, we can find something to be disenfranchised about even in the midst of things that ought to be nothing but blessings. Someone has said this. I thought it was a very insightful statement. He said, I used to think people complained because they had a lot of problems. But I have come to realize that they have problems because they complain. Right? You know, I mean, you can find problems where none exist if your spirit is to think, you know what, my life is so hard. And I have so many things to be unhappy about. Let me just tell you, you know. And just as we can count our blessings, you know, you can count your trials and name them one by one and dig out every little detail of problem in life that really doesn't have maybe even much consequence. And yet if your spirit is to see the dark cloud and your spirit is to be something to be disturbed or disgruntled or upset about, it's always there to find. And we've got to guard against that complaining spirit that robs us of thankfulness. Psalm 77, verse 3. Psalmist says, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. You know, when we start complaining, it tends to overwhelm. It drags us down. Philippians 2:14 says that we are to do all things without murmurings and disputings. We're to be thankful in everything and for all things. And in all things, we shouldn't be complaining. We shouldn't be murmuring. We shouldn't be disputing. Third attitude, I'll say, is just a matter of taking God's blessings for granted. Someone once said that if the stars only came out once a year, we would stay out all night to watch them. But because they're there every night, pretty soon we grow accustomed to them and we just forget about it altogether. The Israelites grumbled, you remember, because they had no food, and God sent them manna. And we read that very objectively speaking, and it was nothing short of a miracle, right? I mean, every day, say one, right? 6 days, they would go out. There would be just enough manna for what they needed. If they gathered extra, it would go rancid. If they took the right amount, they would eat that. And miraculously enough, when they would gather on the day before the Sabbath, their manna would keep for 2 days. Every other day, it was but one day. And the manna wouldn't be there on the Sabbath. And they did it was a miraculous thing. But over time, they came to take it for granted. And in fact, they even got tired of it. They got tired of seeing a miracle of God every day. And pretty soon they began to complain about seeing a miracle of God every day. And folks, that's human nature. That is the flesh. That is our sinful propensity to take for granted, especially those blessings of God that we experience each and every day. You know, I kind of was encouraged when Pastor Micah on Sunday told everybody to stand up and take a breath or something like that. You know, how many breaths do you take in a day? And you don't give it a thought, except maybe if you've got asthma or if maybe, you know, you've been feeling really sick. But I mean, your average person, we don't give a thought to the fact that God has given us life and breath. And we take those things for granted. And we focus on this difficulty and this hardship, and those things quench our thankfulness. Certainly there's many other things as well, but really it all ties back to the common issue of, you know what, if my concern is all about me, you know, then I'm going to be prideful, and I'm going to be complaining, and I'm going to take for granted many, many blessings because I'm so focused on how much more I deserve and how hard I have it. And those things just build on one another and it just revolves around. And as long as our life is centered on ourselves. And you say, well, how can it not be? It's your life. Well, Christ's life certainly wasn't centered on himself. And if anybody would have claimed that it would be him. And we as believers, our lives aren't to be centered on how good I have it, how hard I have it. The blessings, everything we have is a blessing from God. You know, we start with nothing, and God gives us everything. So if my focus is just on me, then I'll pridefully say, surely I deserve better and more of everything good and nothing bad. And I want everyone to know how much better I deserve. And even when I have a history of God's rich blessings, my first thought will be, yeah, that was good, but what have you done for me lately, God? We need to pause and reflect on the goodness of God and how undeserving we are and on the riches of salvation. And on God's sweet care, even in times of trial. We need to remember his promises and remember the pit of sin from which we have been saved. I grew up enjoying the Peanuts comic strip, right? Charles Schulz comic strip. And there was one cartoon, you know, around Thanksgiving time that he drew. And in the first panel, here's Charlie Brown. And this was a common thing you would see in the first panel of a Charles Schultz cartoon would be Charlie Brown carrying the dog dish of dog food out to Snoopy's doghouse. Okay, so there's the first panel. You know, Charlie Brown is carrying that, and it's Thanksgiving Day. And Snoopy's, you know, laying there on his doghouse, and he's looking at this is the next panel, and he's staring at the dish of dog bowl of dog food that's sitting there, and he says, "This isn't fair. The rest of the world today is eating turkey with all the trimmings, and all I get is dog food." You know, and in the next panel, he's still just laying there staring at the bowl and complaining, "Because I'm a dog, all I get is dog food." Then on the last panel, he's sitting up on the top of his doghouse, looking kind of pensive. And he says, "But I guess it could be worse. I could be a turkey." Okay? You know, folks, it is about our perspective. You know, and again, a trivial example, but we understand that. You know, we can make a choice to adjust our perspective and how we look at things. And instead of seeing something to complain about, we can see something to be thankful about. And we need to be in the habit of doing that. Instead of thinking about how bad we have it, we need to recognize the rich blessings we have. Now, at the risk of being mechanical or trivial, let me suggest some things just to illustrate the fact that we make choices about what our perspective is going to be and how we can adjust our perspective. All right? I would suggest, folks, that you should be thankful because you pay taxes, because it indicates that you're employed. You should be thankful that the clothes you have maybe are a little too snug, because it means you've had enough to eat. You should be thankful for a lawn that needs mowing, for windows that need cleaning, for gutters that need fixing, because it means you have a home. You should be thankful that the spot that you find at the far end of the parking lot is there, because that means you're capable of walking. You should be thankful for the huge heating bill you have in the middle of a Chicago winter, because it means that you're warm. You should be thankful for all the complaining you hear about our government, because it means we have freedom of speech. You should be thankful because for the person behind you in church who sings off key, because it means you can hear. You should be thankful for the piles of laundry and ironing, because it means your loved ones are nearby. You should be thankful for the alarm that goes off too early in the morning, because it means that you're alive. You should be thankful for the weariness and aching muscles at the end of the day, because it means that you have been productive. And we could go on and on and on with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of things where we are accustomed to complain and gripe and moan and groan. And really, those should be reminders of the richness and the blessing of God. And the issue is one of perspective. The story is told of a young man who was feeling pretty proud of himself. He was a college graduate. He had just learned that he had passed his CPA exam with flying colors, so he considered himself a pretty competent accountant. Now, this young man's father had been an immigrant to the United States who owned his own little business. And the son, kind of filled with self-importance, began to berate his father's way of keeping books. He says, "Dad, you don't even know how much profit you've made. Over here in this drawer are your accounts receivable, and over here are your receipts, and you keep all your money in the cash register. You don't even know how much you've made." And his father said, "Son, when I came to this country, I owned a shirt and a pair of pants. Now your brother's a doctor, your sister's an art teacher, and you're a CPA. Your mother and I own our own home. We have a car, and we own this little business. Now add that up, subtract the shirt and pants, and all the rest is profit." And you know, folks, we need to add it up. You know, we need to reflect on just the rich blessings that we have. And you know, we came into this world with nothing, so to speak. You know, and people use that to illustrate all kinds of things. But the fact is, I mean, we came into this world as humble sinners who knew nothing and are capable of nothing, really, ultimately, of eternal value. We came into this world condemned, separated from God by virtue of the fact of being sinners. And if you know Christ as your Savior, you're now the recipient of eternal life. And most of you did drive here tonight, and most of you will go home to a warm bed, and most of you have enough to eat, and most of you have opportunities and family and all kinds of things that are rich blessings to us. And what we deserve is what we have really earned in and of ourselves is nothing. I mean, every good gift, right, comes from God. Everything of any true merit, of any eternal and lasting value, is because of God. You know, the growth in our lives is because of God's working in our lives. and rather than being all caught up in this and that and comparing and all those things, we need to say, you know what? Everything that I have is profit, so to speak. Everything that I have is God's gift to us. We need to count our blessings and name them one by one. We have so much to be thankful for, and thankfulness is a matter of perspective. And then secondly, and we'll do this quickly, thankfulness is a matter of priority. Let me have you turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5. We're just going to go back and look at that other very familiar passage. 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm going to start reading in verse 14. He says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So here we have a series of exhortations, and Paul concludes with an appeal for the sanctifying of work of God to this end. But he just gives this series of exhortations, this series of commands, really. And did you notice, in the midst of those commands, what's appended to the command given in verse 18? Right? He says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." You know, there are many aspects of life where we might legitimately wonder exactly what God's will is for us. But this, most assuredly, isn't one of them. You know, some might say that, well, that little explanation, you know, "for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you," you know, applies to that whole list. You know, I mean, that you should rejoice evermore, that you should quench not the spirit. All of those things are the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I would say that's true enough, you know. But of this I can be sure. If that expression were to only apply to one of them, guess which one it is, right? It's the one that it comes after, right? Be thankful. In everything, give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. My personal conclusion on that is that the two are connected. That he is emphasizing. Certainly it is God's will, all those other things as well, but he is emphasizing because it is so hard for us to truly be thankful in everything, for all things, continually, all the time. That's one of the highest orders maybe there is in terms of living the Christian life in a manner that pleases God. And so Paul reminds us, he emphasizes to us, listen, lest there be any doubt, thankfulness is the will of God for you all the time. And it needs to be, folks, for us a matter of priority. We are to be thankful in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Remember I mentioned at the beginning that little three-point outline. We have it so good, we enjoy it so much, we express it so little. Folks, expressing our thankfulness. You know, both expressing that thankfulness to God and expressing our thankfulness about God's blessing to others, as well as, I suppose, expressing our thankfulness to others for their help to us. But really, the context here is our thankfulness to God for the richness of his blessings. And we have a responsibility to express that to God. You know, he knows what he's done for us, and if we'll take the time to think about it, we know what he's done for us, but it ought to be a priority for us to convey that to him in prayer, to express that to him. And it also ought to be a priority for us to express that thankfulness to God in the presence of others. You know, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord, you know, to one another, amongst one another. It's God's will for us to be thankful and to let that thankfulness be seen and heard in our attitude and in our words. Rudyard Kipling was a great writer and poet. You know, many of you are familiar with him. Maybe you've read some of his work. And unlike many writers, Kipling was one of the few of his day who had the opportunity to enjoy his success while he was still alive. And in fact, he made a great deal of money at his trade. One time a newspaper reporter came to Kipling and said, "Mr. Kipling, I just read that somebody calculated that the money you make from your writings amounts to over $100 for every word written." Kipling raised his eyebrows and he said, "Really? I certainly wasn't aware of that." And then the reporter cynically reached down into his pocket and pulled out a $100 bill and gave it to Kipling, and he said, "Here's a $100 bill, Mr. Kipling. Now you give me one of your $100 words." And so the story is that Kipling looked at the $100 bill in the man's hand for a moment, and then he took it, he folded it up, and he put it in his pocket, and he looked at the man, and he said, "Thanks." Okay? You know, well, there's a $100 word. There's a $1 million word. You know, thankfulness is an important word. It's, yeah. I mean, you could have said thank you, but that would be two words, right? So you had to say thanks, you know. But folks, that is a valuable thing for us to express our thankfulness. Express it to God. Express it to other people. And the word thanks, the words thank you, are too seldom heard, too rarely spoken, and too often forgotten. Now most of us are reasonably refined, cultured people. And we, as a matter of politeness, probably say thank you often, right? Somebody hands you something, thank you. Somebody opens the door for you, you say thank you. Somebody picks up something that you've dropped, you say thank you, okay? We do it kind of mindlessly. We do it as a matter of good breeding, right? As a matter of being a proper and a refined person. But the question is, you know, what's the real heart behind it? And the greater question that I would have for us who maybe are polite and appreciative people, characteristically speaking, among ourselves and among people in general, but you know, how much thought is given to being thankful to God in everything and for all things? And how often do we express that? I'm guessing that for most of us, we say thank you to people for nice things that they do to us far more than we say to people, you know, "I am so thankful to God because I am so thankful that God did this for me. I am so thankful that, you know, I have God's blessing in my life. I am so thankful to be saved. I am so thankful," whatever. But we probably much more frequently tell somebody thank you for some kindness that they extend to us than we tell them how thankful we are for what God has done and is doing and promises to do in our lives. And I think that when, you know, Paul tells us we ought to be thankful in everything, that we ought to be having that spirit of thankfulness, and that it ought to be coming out and it ought to be bubbling over, that the idea there is that we do not only feel that thankfulness, but if we really feel it, right, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, we will express that attitude of thankfulness to God, to others, believers, unbelievers alike. And if you'll take stock of your life, my guess is you'll recognize that there are many cases where you could and should have expressed your gratitude to God in the presence of somebody else or told somebody else about how thankful you are, and you didn't. And we're more affected by just the sense of not wanting to be too out there than we maybe care to admit. But really, if we have that spirit of thankfulness for all things, in all things, all the time, it's going to come out. It's going to be seen. And so that's my burden, you know, for myself, for my family, for each of you, that we would be truly thankful people and that we would be ready to give thanks for all things and in everything, and that we would do so, that we would express that. It's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of priority. It's obviously a matter of the Holy Spirit's work in our hearts, but frankly, as much as anything is, you know, being thankful is a matter of a choice that we make. I mean, everything about our lives is. But, you know, it really is a conscious choice to adjust our perspective. It really is a conscious choice to make a priority about being thankful all the time, and not in an artificial way, but in a real way, by reflecting on really the goodness and richness of God. If we'll look for it, we'll see it, even in the harshest of trials. And we ought to be sharing that with God and sharing that heart with others. So folks, here at Thanksgiving time, you know, let me encourage us to take that time especially to express our thankfulness. Next Tuesday night, we have a Thanksgiving praise service. You know, we ought to have to just shut down because, you know, the lines are too long. Because really, we all do have much to be thankful for. And we ought to be able to, by God's grace, identify some things that we would like to share with a friendly crowd, right? Brothers and sisters in Christ. That we can be thankful for what God is doing. And we should want to share that. And you should want to share it at your family gathering. You should want to share it around your Thanksgiving dinner table. And frankly, folks, we should want to share it amongst the people we rub shoulders with in this world, whether they're believers or not. We ought to be ready to be thankful in all things, for everything, in every circumstance, and let that thankfulness show. Father, we are thankful. We're grateful for that which